Welcome to our podcast,
Band BFFs,
the podcast where we make your music selection less complicated.
On today's episode, we're going to be discussing Apex Predator by Michael Ore. Cheers to starting the conversation.
This is a new piece that we discussed very briefly in a previous episode on a new to the PML episode. So we wanted to dive a little deeper. This is a grade 2 on the Texas PML this year. It's just under 4 minutes in length. It's in the key of concert B flat. The time signature goes back and forth between 4-4 and 3-4 frequently. It has split clarinet parts, alto parts, trumpet parts. This is definitely something you would want to consider programming for a more mature young band, non-varsity band, or, certainly a varsity band. This would be appropriate for that as well. Lots of percussion parts, and the percussion parts are really important. There are actually 5 separate percussion parts, and you really need every one of them. Katie has played this piece and was able to make it work with 6 percussionists, but they had to do a little bit of moving around to make sure that all parts were covered. So you could do it with a minimum of 6. You would not want to do it with less than 6. And certainly if you had more than 6, they could share parts.
For sure. So this piece is super fun. My students really enjoyed playing it. We played it for our fall concert this year. And it starts off with a very mysterious, slow portion. Later it gets faster and it stays the same tempo for the rest of the piece, although the slow, quote unquote, slower lyrical style does come back at the end. So it has a nice little bookend. But it starts off with a flute solo. When I played it, of course, it was not for UIL, but I let my entire flute section play it. And so they had a good time with that. But I would probably program it to be a solo if anybody's playing it for UIL or for a contest. It is very, very slow. So probably your flute player cannot make 4 measures in a breath, but it's possible. If they cannot, though, they can breathe on any tied note. So it's written where that would be an easy spot to take a breath as they continue to move on. Percussion is very important here at the beginning. There is no timekeeping. Mm-hmm. So they come in and they have these little interspersed like moments where they're just like an effect. When I started teaching this piece to my band, we actually talked about what is an apex predator. So I asked them for some examples. They knew way more than I knew. So we got like wolf and tiger and polar bear, which I didn't know that was one. And like, they were like, there's definitely one in the ocean. It's the orca. So like we decided that we wanted to focus on the lion as our apex predator. And we decided that the piece was a lion hunting its prey, which in our case is an antelope. We didn't want a little prey because we wanted it to be equal, because there's a fight scene later on where they kind of seem equally matched. But it's fun to give kids like a programmatic like scene to set the mood.
And I just wanted to comment on that. I think that's one thing that Katie does really, really well. And I think that like it's an important part of teaching. It will really help the kids, I think, grasp on to the music and buy into the story that the music is trying to tell, right? All music is trying to tell a story. And I think any time that you can make that real for students, there's not, you know, necessarily program notes that come, you know, this right. isn't about a specific apex predator. You have a little bit more freedom. And I think it's really cool.
Yeah, like let your kids decide which one and they can help you paint the scene. Yeah. So we talked about that this opening section is kind of like maybe it's the antelope, but maybe not. It might just be like surveying the like Saharan desert, like, or like the African landscape, and it's just beautiful, and we're just trying to set a beautiful lyrical scene at the beginning. So again, we've got a little like percussion, vibraphone comes in, and then claves come in loudly and then get softer, kind of like you're like maybe it adds to the moment. It sounds like a little sneaky, a little mysterious. Then the clarinets get to come in and 1e and a 2e and a 3 and a 4. So really overdoing that because this is setting the scene for like, oh, something might be happening. Mm-hmm. The trombone gets to do a little gliss, again, adding to that like, ooh, uncomfortability. The bass drum comes in and we said this is the heartbeat throughout the piece. So the bass drum comes in, and then the bass drum keeps going later and later and later. It gets faster too at many moments. So we kind of talked about that, and that was what I told the kids. There's a cool kabasa part that's really important. The vibe part is super duper important too. So make
all
sure you
the
pick,
mallet parts.
Yeah, make sure you pick somebody who's okay to like play alt. The flute solo is continuing on into nine. We have another little clarinet thing. The bass drum heartbeat picks up a little bit. And then everybody comes in at measure 12. It's marked mezzo piano. It needs to be played mezzo piano or under. Otherwise, it's like very jarring when the whole band just like comes in. So we talked about just like you're going to breathe really like in for a whole measure, and then you're just going to sneak in. But all together at the same time, we had to practice that quite a bit. And then it changes to 3-4, and it goes 152. So it's basically double tempo. And then the percussion get to have a really cool part.
Now, this percussion section right here, it is establishing the feel of the hunt, right? And it's laying the groundwork for some of the melodies that you're going to hear appearing later in the piece. It's very syncopated throughout. I would treat this section, marimba is really, really important.
Keeps
all
the pulse.
All the mallet parts here are super important. I would treat this like a percussion ensemble. The percussion, and I know sometimes non-percussion band directors are a little bit scared and timid of approaching their percussion section. Treat it just like you would treat a band. Like when you're in your percussion sectional and working on this stuff, it needs to sound balanced. You need to have appropriate balance between the melody and the counter melody and the bass or the motor section and what is intended for color or effect. It's no different than how you would treat your wind section. So I think if you approach this as a percussion ensemble and they get really secure in those parts, that's only going to help the wind players.
And this part comes back a lot of times throughout the piece, so it is important to be really good.
It's a groove, and you want to make sure they feel the groove.
Yes. The vibraphone gets the first moment of melody with a little syncopated one and one and one, two, three, one and one, two, three. Then the toms come in, so we layered down the vibraphones, like Lara said, and they're coming in, and then everybody gets softer in percussion because now we get the flute again. And this is, I believe, all in at this point. Yes. So everybody was, again, my band played the whole thing. But at 25, it should be the whole flute section. And this was where we painted, this is for sure, the little antelope. So now, we're listening to the sweet little prey, just like chilling in the Saharan desert.
Now this is a pretty lengthy piece at almost 4 minutes long, right? But here we are at measure 25 and most of the ensemble has not played yet.
Other than like
effect moment or whatever, but the vast majority of the ensemble hasn't played yet.
Yep. So the flutes are playing. It's very important not to breathe on the bar line between measure 26 and 27. You want to teach the kids to find other spots to breathe if they need to, perhaps in 28 after any of the three quarter notes, or if they can make it all the way to 29, that's even better. They need to tongue really firmly when they have the syncopated style. One, two, and one, two, three. So we taught the flutes to just really, really tongue firmly so you can hear that different rhythmic shift. Then the band comes in finally at 33 and they have impact hits. So this is like the lion. Now finally the lion
making
is going,
his first appearance.
One and. Two, three. So it's like he's finally like kind of cornered in on the antelope he wants to get. It is marked mezzo forte. I took it down a level to be more like mysteriously starting. So we did mezzo piano here, and then we got a little bit louder as we got a little bit more excited, like in 35, 36, 37. Then the kids did like one level higher, just made it sound more like, oh, what's going to happen next?
There's tension in the chords and the way that it's written and marcato accents. So, you know, I think if you're being really aggressive with the articulation, you don't have to be overly aggressive with the volume.
Right. And then the clarinets get another little one and two and three and four. And this time, though, it's a split clarinet part. And it's very important you can hear the second clarinet just because it makes it sound even more mysterious and fun. Then the clarinets and the oboes join in with the flute just to beef up that melody part. It's still the same sort of thing, grooving underneath in percussion and the low people. Again, you don't want the low people to be too loud. And then at 49, we get our first time signature change.
So we changed to 4-4. So we had been in 3-4. We changed to 4-4 at measure 49. Percussion completely changes the feel here. All of the mallet percussion drop out, and we go to this ride cymbal accompaniment. Everything is really soft. Here it's marked mezzo piano. Everyone is playing, but it's longer valued notes here. So it feels a little more flowy, and it does not need to be too loud. Like I feel like even listening to some recordings of this piece that it can be, it's easy to get a little too loud too soon in this section, I think.
The style changes here as well. Now it's very lyrical in nature. And we, in my group, when we were talking about the story, we said that this was where the like movie camera has pulled away from the predators and is now just surveying the landscape. So it's just real pretty. And it's like, you know, oh, look at the desert. You know, it's like we're just imagining, we're looking all over at the beauty of Africa. The trumpets do come in with some pickups as well as flute, clarinet, and oboe. And the trumpets are under the staff on their pickups. It's really hard to hear them if everybody isn't aware of those. So when you're writing in your parts, like things that kids can think about, I would literally write TPT here so that way the band is understanding who to listen to. Now, the trumpets have the harmony to the melody, but it's still important to be able to hear them. And again, it's written really low, so it's kind of hard to always hear. The horns have a really pretty counter. They have the melody here, starting at 49, horns do. And then the trumpets and the flutes have the counter melody. But again, you've got to be able to hear both of those parts interplaying. And the horn part is beautiful. It's not difficult. It's well written, but it does have some different articulations. So you want to make sure that the kids are playing the correct ones.
In the low brass, low reed accompaniment here, we have this kind of repeated ostinato rhythm. 1-2-4-1-2. And it stays on the same note every measure. So making sure that they do not play too loud because you don't want to cover up what's happening in the melody and the counter melody, but that the articulation is firm enough that the rhythm is clearly defined.
Yep.
Right? We want to hear the quarter, half, quarter rhythm.
There's a lot of points in this piece where the tuba part goes a little bit lower than I guess I would consider to be a super comfortable range for most kids. Like it goes down to low A flat. So just making sure you also work with your tubas to sound really beautiful on that note. It happens a couple different times. It's important to lead into the next section. So just making sure that they're in tune and that they can help really drive that home. Big timpani moment leading into this section too. So everything's leading up and then we have a long note from everybody in the band. Percussion goes back to their little like groove-like section. Timpani is pretty important here. And then everybody is getting softer and softer to 61. 60 to 61 is like 61 is a new moment. We change back into 3-4 and the style goes back to what we had before. So the students carrying the note all the way from 60 to 61 is important. I told my kids not to breathe there. So it's a little awkward because like the trombones have the long note and then they take over the melody. So I trained my students to instead stagger breathe in either 58 or 59 so that they would have enough air in 60 to continue on into the new section. It's almost like a scene change immediately. That's what I kind of told them. And then we have the melody here in trombone, horn, euphonium, and alto. So it's like the mid voices.
And back to that original original syncopated thing. We've limited a little bit more of the percussion. Percussion is back in with a little bit of a groove, but they are not accompanying the brass and altos with the melody.
Yeah, they're just kind of timekeeping for sure. And then the trombones get to be kind of the king here. And just making sure that tuning is really locked in. A lot of beautiful chords, but you'll have to work on making sure that everybody can really sink in, everybody moves together, it doesn't rush because of the pulse going away and like toms and things like that, the mallets can play out a little stronger so that you can hear that groove. I think that's pretty important. Teaching them again not to breathe like the flutes before. Don't breathe after just two measures. Make sure you lead into the next section.
And at this tempo and the fact that this particular section is in 3/4, it should not be an issue for your students to play in 4-bar phrases. Yeah.
And then the trumpets and flutes and oboes and clarinets have some eighth note pickups again, just like before, going into measure 69, which is a full 2D moment. It is difficult to hear those eighth notes if everybody's not thinking about it, because again, the trumpets start below the staff. So teaching students that as the notes go higher, you start stronger so that you can hear those lower notes. And flutes are going to float as they go up above the staff and not get louder as they go higher.
And there's like this little overlapping moment where the horn and alto are finishing their phrase and trumpet, flute, and clarinet are starting the phrase of this new moment, and those overlap for one measure. So I think finding the sweet spot of what the balance is there.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And then the first trumpet goes up to an E here and the flute up to a upper D above the staff. So just making sure that the tuning in your upper parts is really, really pretty is important. Flutes go all the way up to high F too. Mm-hmm. So making sure that they either add finger 6 to make it be better in tune, or don't play the high note. Like just a couple kids play the upper note and everybody else plays the lower note. So like I have more eighth graders in my group than seventh graders. So I remember I told like two of the eighth graders play the high note. Everybody else played the lower note. And then it stays split like that for a while in the flute part. So just making sure that it's not screaming at us. It is the melody, but we don't want the antelope doesn't need to be like screaming at you in the foreground. Like it's there, but you don't want it to like take over.
We've added more percussion back in. So now it's more the same feel that we had earlier in the percussion section.
We are back to the 4/4 groove where the style changes and it's more lyrical. Horns have the melody again. Same exact thing before. Trumpets come in and they're below the staff. They have to play out more. Flutes and trumpets have an interplay part with the horn and alto. It's literally the exact same thing we had before. Then 85, it's like Laura said, like kind of like a halftime rhythm sort of like, half note, half note, half note, half note. We're leading up. We're pretty loud here.
Intensifying.
And there's no percussion. So the kids really have to watch to make sure that they move together. We just have some suspended cymbal rolls for effect. There's a little moment where the trumpets have an interplay with the horns. The horns just finish playing something. Then the trumpets have a response with flute and oboe and clarinet one, making sure that the kids don't jump out there. It goes 2, 3, 4, 1, making sure that 2, 3, 3 doesn't jump out and get louder just because it's higher, making sure that it's evened out. And then measure 92 leads into 93.
So we change back 93. Now here we are again with this same statement, the syncopated 3/4 time, 1 and 2 and 1. All percussion are back in. We're building. You can tell this is like approaching a climax here. I don't know if this is what you would call. We're coming up to the, or this
we're
is
coming
the,
up to the fight scene, to but the we're fight still scene. Not
we're
there.
Still not there. So still intensifying. Okay. I'm anticipating the fight scene. I can't wait.
Yes.
But it's all very much like what we had earlier, but we are building. So the volume is coming up a little bit.
Yep.
And here you want to make sure it doesn't get too loud and you're appropriately balanced. Like Katie and I were talking, this is pretty, it's pretty thickly textured. Lots of different parts in here, so you have to be able to prioritize and tell your kids what you want to be the level 10 strongest, who's the accompaniment at level 7, you know, whatever system you use like that.
At 101, it goes back to 4/4, and the horns and alto 2 have an important part that's leading us into the fight scene. Low brass, again, just have the same note over and over, need a tongue firm. But then low brass and low reeds do get a little moment of glory with some accents on 2, 3, 4, 1. And then the whole band gets out of the way, and percussion can start their groove again. It's a new groove this time, but it's important in marimba part and vibraphone part. And then the fight scene is at 109. So this is like the two predators have seen, the predator and the prey have seen each other. And now, like, we made this like a really big deal. So it's like they're equally matched, though. Like, they're important. So the first voice at 109 is the lion. The lion, and then there's a glissando in the trombone and a big sforzando hit in all the low reeds and low brass. And then flute, trumpet, and upper voices like clarinet and sax have a little response. Three and. So they're the antelope. So the lion, one, three and. Lion, one and. Then the antelope gets all scared and there's a rip. So that's really fun. And the horns and trumpets and altos get to do that in the woodwinds.
And the range is pretty high up here. Like for the horns, their rip is from a D to a top line F.
Yeah, and flutes again are up this above the staff on a G. So just making sure, you know, it's not too crazy. Then the lion keeps going 1-3, 1-3, and the uppers have 1-2-3, 1-3.
Sweet little antelope trying to get away.
Three. Yeah. So it's like, it's just the two parts are interplaying here, but they both have to be equal. So I talked to the kids about making sure that one voice is not louder than the other. This is both predator and prey. Then at 117, it all comes together. The whole band has accents on 1 and 3 all the way throughout. Again,
percussion
not screaming.
Moving all over with eighth notes.
Yep. And then the horn and trumpet 2, alto 2, and clarinet 2 get a little ascending quarter note line that's accented. 1, 2, 3, 4. Everybody joins in. Eighth notes in the upper woodwinds. And then fight scene. 1 and 2. The whole band, including percussion. Everybody has the same thing. So this part, you have to really have it aligned perfectly to where nobody... even like a tiny bit
no
plays
oops,
in the rest.
No oops yeah. moments.
Like, no, like they know how to count it. It's not hard with counting, but it's the alignment of the articulation and the style that's real important. And then we've hit the client. Like I told the kids, it's like the two, you guys can't see me because I'm on a microphone, but like the two animals are like at each other's throats at this point, and now they've dropped to the ground and we're about to find out like who won. So at 127, it goes back.
It's an apex predator for a reason. I think we know who wins, but
okay,
I hate to spoil it for you.
Got to listen to the imagery. So at 127, everybody's getting softer. The percussion is still grooving, but they're quiet and everybody's getting quieter and quieter and quieter. Then they all stop and the percussion keeps grooving. We're back to that same thing from the very beginning.
We established at the beginning, except much softer.
Right.
Here. So much more control.
And then the whole piece ends with another flute solo at 139, but now it's in 3-4 instead of 4-4 like at the beginning. So my flutes just like had lots of moments where they just didn't want to count this correctly. So making sure you either write in the counts for them and remind them it's different than the beginning. Again, you have a soloist probably at this point, not your whole section, but just making sure it's counted well. The little clarinet thing again, little trombone gliss again to end it. And then everybody enters at 147 for a last chord. The chord gets louder in the middle and then gets softer. And I told the kids that was the last breath that the antelope took.
So you're saying the lion won.
Yeah. But this piece was super fun. The kids loved it and they just really love practicing it. So this is a great new PML piece that people should definitely be looking at.
And lots of little fun elements in here for kids. Definitely you want to make sure you have a strong percussion section for this, and flute section, since it features flute so much.
Yes.
Are there any other sections that you would say are...
No, okay. Everybody's important. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, so fun.
What a fun piece. Well, we hope that you will consider programming Apex Predator for a festival coming up or one of your future contests.
We are glad you got to join us today on our episode of Band BFFs.